listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source.
Let's plug it in. It's going to say, hey, I see you plugged in a new device. And it's going to load in the appropriate drivers. You'll notice that this scanner build... Whoa. Got a
blue screen of death.
Moving right along.
That must be why we're not shipping Windows 98 yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Voice Radio. It's episode 59, and you're joining us on the 11th of the 11th, 2005, and it is Remembrance Day, remembering all the lost souls in World War I, and also remembering all the lost souls that died during any war anywhere around the world. So let's just take a little
time. And here in the States, it's Veterans Day.
That's right. So I think we should just take a minute in silence, which is quite difficult for me to do. Just to remember everyone who died. How about that?
And who served.
Yeah. Okay, so let's kick the show off with a bit of news, and then we'll be introducing our guest.
Yes, our guest of honor this evening.
That's right.
You know, when I set this up, I had no idea that today was Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Or Remembrance Day, but it's quite appropriate.
Indeed. And that's, I don't know if you got my email, but I was like, do you know what day it is of what month? So, yeah.
I did get the email. I didn't get the connection until you just said something.
Right, okay.
I'm a little out of it, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I've been in a weird, freaky, hyper ADHD mood today.
I was up till 5 a.m. last night.
Hmm.
I couldn't freaking sleep.
Yeah.
And I woke up with one hell of a hangover. But I'm back, baby.
Excellent. Back to play. So, let's kick it off.
Well, first off...
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Hacker Voice Radio news.
Mm-hmm.
I, the infamous Ionix, am offering custom clothing.
Yes.
As well as wall clocks, all kinds of crap.
I'm going to have to get myself a wall clock, man.
Yeah, a Hacker Voice Radio wall clock for the studio. Yeah. That would be sweet.
Oh, yeah. So I can tell what time it is.
Yeah, like the beeping on your computer is telling enough.
Exactly.
Oh, no, but basically the deal is if you want an item of clothing, whether it be a T-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatsuit, anything, with a custom design, with your handle, anything you want to say on it, I'll design it, I'll have it made, and I'll ship it to you. I'm for lower price items, I'm charging 8.25%. above cost, and for more expensive items, I'm charging 5%, and it goes on a sliding scale. All proceeds go to basically...
Me.
You know, supplement.
Yeah, exactly. What we do.
Our costs. For what we do.
But for all the Hacker Voice radio, well, for all the Hacker Voice members, we're going to be charging, well, at cost.
At cost, yeah. It's kind of pointless to charge extra.
Seeing as it's going to be coming
to go back to us,
yeah.
But, yeah, if you want a hoodie, like a black hoodie with, like, your handle on it, a custom design, anything you want to say. If you see any of my electronic art, you want me to do anything for you, I will. I'm putting myself out there like an artist on heroin.
Yeah. Quite literally.
Going cheap. Hey, no. I don't fuck with the H-bombs, yo.
No, baby. Guess what?
But that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
You can hit me up with an email.
I will, man, on the forum.
Well, I'm talking to our listeners, man.
Oh, sorry. Rejection!
Yeah, you too.
Hold it, girl!
But if you need a list of what I can have made, it's on the forums. There's a post in general.
Yeah. Which I've actually pinned.
I can do all that. And I'm still, you know, my offer's still good for custom signatures or desktop wallpapers. I'll do those for free.
Cool. So you're going to hit me up with my little wallpaper? Sometime soon.
I'm working on it, man. Cool.
You know what? I love.
It's
I love
still
that
an
theme.
Alpha.
I love that theme of the kind of riot police. Sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've incorporated it.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah, there's binary all across the eyepieces of the gas mask.
Fuck yeah. Sweet, man.
No,
sweet.
No. I'm holding it back for a reason. It's going to be perfect when I give it to you.
Oh man, I'm going to be impressed. And I think, whatever you do, I'm definitely going to be buying like some sort of hoodie with that thing on with my handle, or definitely going to be buying at least 3 or 4, maybe even let's go 5 wall clocks, loads of stickers. Like novelty items, like knickers, thongs, and stuff like that, with Hacker Voice.
Oh, you don't have to buy the thong, man.
No.
I hate to spoil it, but I've been doing some Hacker Voice Radio Christmas shopping.
All right.
Planet's getting a copy of Serenity.
Wow.
Sapphire's getting a Root This Box thong. I've been shopping around.
Cool, man. Oh, fuck. And I had that big rant about how much I hate Christmas and shit. Now I'm not going to get a present.
Santa says you've been bad.
Well, I mean, it's the American thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Did you hear about...
So is there any minimum orders on that?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What's that, Planet? You're a little quiet.
Sorry, mate. Is there any minimum orders...
No.
Custom gear. Good stuff.
No, these are custom unique items.
So you can buy just one of them, basically.
That's the idea.
Fantastic.
But the more you buy,
yeah,
the more we'll like you.
Spread it out, man. You could have an entire hacker wardrobe.
Exactly. You know, you've got your
you
hacker voice.
You could have your handle on everything.
Yeah.
Straight down from your knickers to your t-shirt, hoodie,
yeah,
your backpack.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Hell, everything.
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 Cool. I'm so excited about that. I did say when we meet up, I owe you a kiss.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I'll be taking you up on that.
On the lips.
Oh yes, with tongue.
With tongue. Okay.
I don't know, it just sort of came to me.
Yeah.
I actually figured out that I could do it. And I figured, what the hell? There's got to be a market for it.
Yeah. If it's only like us four.
Well, the good news is that the Hacker Voice Radio Fund has grown to $120,000.
Yeah, of our own money.
The bad news is that it's all been put in there by us.
Yeah. So we've not really broken even, but nothing's...
But we have a lot of cool shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did you know that Linus is a hard ass? Apparently,
he's getting that way. I told
you. Apparently, Linus is cracking down on developers that add last-minute changes to the kernel during the 2 weeks merge window. He says, "If people mess with this merge window, we'll start abusing the hard last-minute things that are just so causing problems, man. They're causing problems for the RLC." CRL, whatever, man. And I'll just refuse to merge, man.
I pity the fool who puts it in late.
I pity the fool who plays with my kernel. And I'll laugh.
You fuck with my
face.
Kernel, bitch, you're gonna die.
Yeah. So that's basically what he had to say.
Direct quotes.
Yeah. Any other news?
Oh, Nintendo is coming up with the Nintendo Revolution, which is going to be competing with the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
Cool.
The most innovative thing about the game console is going to be the price. It is going to be significantly cheaper than any other gaming system out there.
Wow.
The other revolutionary thing is the controller.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be entirely wireless.
Yeah.
And modeled after what looks like
a
TV remote.
Oh, right, okay. And
or, I don't know, if your penis is, you know, 6 inches long, square-shaped,
mm-hmm.
and has a bunch of buttons on it, then yeah.
Cool. How did you know?
those pictures you sent me.
Yeah.
one downside I can see is that it's not going to ship or implement in any way, shape, or form a hard drive.
Right.
Which will make it very difficult to mod or hack.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the day when Nintendo jumps back in there with a competitive console.
Mm-hmm. How about as in performance? Is it
Here's one for you. A little bit of hacker trivia.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first Nintendo game console offered?
What do you mean, was it offered?
The first one they sold.
It probably wasn't.
God knows, I don't know. I never really was a Nintendo kind of person.
Bastard. How about you, Planet?
I'd go with the Nintendo Entertainment System, but that just seems too obvious, so I...
No, it wasn't that. There was one right before it that was the prototype for the NES. It wasn't a cartridge-based system. It was a robot.
What the fuck?
It was a robot that you could control with the controller.
Yeah.
And also plug into the TV.
Wow.
And it played Super Mario Brothers.
Wow.
Cool.
Why didn't that take off? Well, I guess, you know, it was a robot.
For the time, it was pretty expensive, and you couldn't play multiple games on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I still remember the TV commercials. But then again, I remember everything.
A hacker always remembers.
I mean, shit, I was like 5 years old.
Every 5 year old wants a robot.
Yeah.
Alright, well, that's all I really had to say for the news.
That's pretty much me as well, yeah.
There might have been one other thing. It was Linux based. Dell's going to be selling Linux computers that come with Linux.
Pre-installed cool.
and set for the hardware.
It's about time.
And
man.
Also, Microsoft
releasing their own
released
Linux.
A study, a 40-page PDF comparing MS's Singularity kernel,
mm-hmm.
which is an online kernel they've been developing for OSS,
mm-hmm.
With Microsoft Windows XP, FreeBSD, and Linux.
Right.
Which showed that Linux and FreeBSD
are crap.
are faster than any of the Microsoft offerings.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is
a study. And this is a Microsoft study.
Okay.
That got leaked. For example, they show the number of CPU cycles needed to create and start a process.
Yeah.
For FreeBSD, it was 1,032,000.
Right.
For Linux, it was 719,000.
Right.
And for XP, it was a whopping 5,376,000 processes.
Wow. That's like...
Or cycles, rather.
That's like only a few seconds, isn't it?
Well, it's a few seconds. but compared to 719,000 processes, which is like a fraction of a second.
Yeah. Impressive, yeah. Snake.
I was also pleased to see that FreeBSD was beat out by Linux.
Yeah.
Because I know there's FreeBSD zealots out there. They're always dumping on me for using Linux.
They don't know the
truth.
I'm
just going to go and offer a hearty fuck off to them.
Yeah.
No. Not to get me wrong. FreeBSD is a wonderful operating system, and so long as you're not using Microsoft, I'm happy. But stop fucking around with me for using Linux, yo.
Yeah. We're brothers, man.
For real.
Keep it real.
I know. It's all open source, brother.
Yeah.
There ain't no problem here. Just because we did it in a third less cycles than FreeBSD don't mean it ain't no thing. Damn, bitches always be getting up in my shit about cycle process. Oh, stability this, and freaking compatibility that. Come on. It's all good, baby. Okay, I'm done with that.
That was the funniest Afro-American accent that you've ever done.
I think that's the only Afro-American accent I've ever done.
And the last.
Except for the occasional, I pity the fool.
Yeah. I think that's a universal, I pity the fool, spreads across all languages.
I think so too. I think I heard an Arab man say that to me once.
And a Taiwanese monk. That's never seen television in his life. Has never seen a light bulb on.
No, but, like, he talked to Mr. T once.
Yeah.
There was an Eskimo that did the same.
Really?
Yeah. I pity the fool who cannot build an igloo. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited. I'm in rare form.
Mm. not rare for you to be excited.
This is shaping up to be one of the most hardcore ever.
Yeah. Let's hope my connection doesn't
crack. All right, well, that's it for me for the news.
Mm. Anything from Planet?
No, I didn't really research the news too much today because of our special guest.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was coming on at the start and then we'd bore him with stuff. You know, so I didn't look into the news.
Sure.
So I've got shit.
I've been busy as fuck today at work, so I did very little research for news, but I have been doing a lot of... thinking and pondering about what the hell we're going to do for today's episode. So I think...
I got it covered, man.
If everyone agrees with me, we can start things off. And we can give Felix a call.
Yes.
Cool.
We're going to be calling Phil Rosner, a.k.a. Felix. This is probably one of the... most historically important interviews we have ever done, and perhaps we ever will do.
Yeah.
He was born in Austria. Lived in Vienna for quite a while. He lived through the Austrian fascist movement, Nazi occupation, fought in a socialist freedom group.
Mm-hmm.
It was a socialist democratic party. It was a youth group called the Red Falcons. He lived in London for a while. He moved to the United States and was an influential member of the Socialist Party in the United States during the McCarthy era. And he's a friend of mine.
Cool.
He's also perhaps one of the oldest people we'll ever interview.
Yeah.
So I hope he can hear us all right.
Hopefully.
So let's go ahead and give him a call, get him on here.
Okay. I pressed the big green button.
Hello?
Hello, Felix.
Hello?
Can you hear
How
us?
How are
okay?
you, Felix?
Hello?
Hello, can you
Hello,
hear
can
us?
You hear us?
Not very well.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
There's a lot of static.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll try and do what the best I can.
Okay.
Fix that.
How are things sounding now?
Well, I can sort of hear, not well.
Okay.
Okay.
It's probably cutting in and out for bandwidth.
Yeah, probably. Okay, shall we start things off and just like to welcome you to the show?
Yeah.
It's very exciting to have you on the show. And let's start some questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Felix, why don't you introduce yourself and give us a brief history of what you've done, what you've lived through.
All right. Well, I'll start now.
Yeah, go ahead. In your
time. Okay, I was born in 1915 in Vienna, Austria. My father was an American citizen who had been sent by his office in New York to the new office in Vienna because he was a translator and fluent in German. So in Vienna, he met my mother, a Viennese Jewish woman, and they got married. And in those days, the law was different. My father reported my birth at the American consulate, and I immediately became an American citizen. And later on, this saved my life. So I have to make this short. So I start when I was 10 years old, and I joined a youth group of the Social Democratic Party. There were kids from the ages of 7 to 17. Vienna was run in those days by the Social Democratic Party. And this fairly new republic had already 100% health insurance and other good laws for working people. They built housing for working class families. And those buildings are still standing today. They were an example for all over the world, the buildings that were built for comfort and enjoyment for working class people.
I think we're having some connection problems here.
Same thing. Good. Can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you again now. Sorry.
Okay. So, these buildings weren't just buildings. They were an example that the future could be better for working class people because there were comfortable buildings with gardens, with schools, libraries, playgrounds, and kids could borrow bicycles, balls, and other equipment and use and when I had joined the youth group, it was called the Red Falcon. And there we were introduced to socialism. We were supplied with news and foreign newspaper and newspapers from all over the world. So we knew what was going on in other countries. And we had an idealistic ideas. We thought, no, the social democrats would get more votes every year, and we will have a socialist democracy. But we found out that we had powerful enemies. The fascist group in Austria, who was supported by Mussolini, or Italy bordered on Austria in the south, to the south, and Nazi Germany to the north. So also the Nazi party got stronger all the time. And peaceful demonstration and meetings by the Social Democrats were attacked by the Austrian fascists, and people were killed. And when the attackers were brought to court, they were always found not guilty. Now, the Austrian Social Democratic Party had a legal defense force of 60,000 men with weapons. And they were trained by veterans of World War I. So we, when the young people, like me, when I was 16 or 17, realized what was going on, we tried to tell the leadership of the Social Democratic Party that it was time to show our strength, at least bring those armed people out on the street for a peaceful demonstration to show our strength. but the leaders did not want to do this. They said, we do not want bloodshed. And in the end, the wrong blood was shed, because on February 12th, 1934, the fascists took over with the help of the army and the military. And we did not know what to do. There was no plan, no organization. But we met with another group of young people, and we found out that the fascists were attacking those working class homes. Now, the people who lived in those homes were just families with parents with children. They did not have weapons, and they could not defend themselves. So we decided and got in touch with other people, and we had some handguns and rifles, and we fought our way into one of those buildings. And there were already other people in there from the Social Democratic Defense Force. And they told us that one apartment, number 42, needed help. So we went in there. So there were already wounded people lying on the floor, and also some children had been hurt by flying glass. So we covered the windows with mattresses, carpets, bedspreads, and other things to keep bullets from flying in, and fly, also glass that was flying around. And then we went to windows and fired our rifle against the oncoming fascists, and we held them back for about a week. And we had a shortwave radio, but it had been damaged by machine gun bullets. So we did not know what was going on outside. So one of our men left and tried to get in touch with some of the leaders, and he came back the next day with bad news. Some of the Social Democrat leaders had already been murdered, and the fascists were taking over all the government buildings, railroad stations, and the only radio station in Vienna. And we were told to give up, try and get home safely, get the wounded people to hospitals, and that we had to give up for the time being. So my friend, and I did go home. But we started to print newspapers, and leaflets telling the truth of what was going on. And we did that for 2 years. And then we were caught and brought to prison. I spent 9 months in solitary confinement. And then there was a so-called trial. The charge was treason. Treason. Yeah. And some of the papers that I had written were read by the prosecutor. And the prison guard who had brought me from my cell to the courtroom was sitting behind me. And he suddenly blurted out, "But this is all true." Well, I thought it was all worth it. Anyway, we got 5 years imprisonment. But our lawyer, who told us that the prisons were so crowded with political prisoners that they would declare an amnesty in 2 years. And that happened, and we got out.
So you only
and they were a very peaceful time for us. We still distributed newspapers and leaflets. But then the real nightmare began. Hitler's troops marched in on March 13th of 1938. And not one shot was fired. The Austrians welcomed them with open arms. I had to leave home immediately because I knew that the Austrian political police would hand my file and others over to the Gestapo. So I found a hiding place in an abandoned boathouse. And the Gestapo came the next day to the apartment looking for me. Now, there was a group of us, of 8 people. We had known each other since elementary school. We were 4 men and 4 women. We were 4 Jewish and 4 Christian people. And we decided to stay in the underground. Well, the best thing we did was to save 100 people, Jewish people. People were hunted down for political reasons. And there were also other groups that they hunted down. Communists, socialists, Jehovah's Witnesses, people that had sickness or mental disorder, and anybody who had not not signed up with the Nazi Party. So one of my friends, Walter, he was Christian. He was tall, blonde, and blue-eyed, 100% Aryan. So once a week, he would bring a German staff car. It was a roadster with a Nazi flag on one fender and another officer's flag on the other fender. And I didn't ask him how he got it, because what I didn't know, I couldn't tell. So these roadsters were equipped with blankets, canvas blankets, coats, goggles, and caps to keep the people protected from the dust, because all the roads were dirt roads. So we could put two people in the space behind the front seat and the back, and put blankets over them. And that's how we got them to nearby border. Czechoslovakia would take him in. They were very friendly. And even fascist Italy, people risked their lives every day by taking in Jewish people and other political escapees. And later on, they took in Allied flyers who had been shut down. So we gathered about 100 people across those borders. Not all of them were saved. They were caught in other countries, like France. But we found out at the end of the war that 60 of them had definitely escaped. Then we stole food. We called it liberated, and distributed to people who had no way of getting food. Like Jewish people, we are not allowed to have jobs or be in their homes, not even to sit on a park bench. All the benches had a sign on it, not for Jews. So we distributed this food, and there was one area in Vienna on the other side of the Danube, the big river that flows through Vienna. And it was a flood control area. But in the summer, it was like a park where people stayed, young people put up tents, and it seemed fairly safe from Gestapo or SS patrols. So on one Sunday, Walter and I, on our bicycle, we had two knapsacks full of food and brought them down to that park. And we distributed the food, and we stayed for the day, and in the evening we decided to ride back to our place. And while we were doing that, suddenly loudspeakers went up from the river and from the other side, from a dam, and it was not the army. And they said, stay where you are and have your papers ready, or else. So Walter and I looked at each other, and we looked and saw the soldiers coming from the river. It was already getting dark, and they had lanterns with they pointed from side to side, and the same thing happened from the other side. So we looked at each other and said, well, we can't fight the whole German army. And we left. We didn't know what else to do. So we decided to hide our bicycles and our handguns under some fallen leaves under a shrub. And then we crawled forwards. The ground was covered with grass, and we tried to get to the river. And the soldiers had already passed us when we heard a dog growl and bark, and then we heard somebody coming close, and the light was shining on us. And we were told to get up. And we were asked, what are you doing here? So Walter answered, and he said, well, we came down to play soccer and swim, and now we wanted to go home. We didn't know we weren't supposed to be here. Well, they said, never mind. They punched us with their rifle butt. Butts in the back and marched us towards the dam. Whenever they came to a tent, they sliced it up with their bayonet and took the people along. And then we came to the dam. There were trucks on the dam, like the army truck. The back had was open with a canvas rolled up. Inside, there were two benches, one on each side of the truck, with 12 Nazi soldiers sitting there with rifles. And we were told to sit on the floor. And then an SS officer jumped up and he sat down on the end of one of the benches near the opening of the door. And the truck started to move. After a while it stopped and they put floodlights from the truck and from a motorcycle with a sidecar in back out on an open meadow. There were no trees, no shrubs. It was all open. And the SS officer grabbed the cap of a young man sitting next to him on the floor. And he threw the cap out into the meadow. And he told the young man to go get it. and that this was a favorite game of the Nazis. Whenever they did something like this, and somebody went out to retrieve the, whatever they throw out, they would shoot him and claim that he was trying to escape. So the young man and whose cap he had thrown out, his underground name was Baker. I had met him before on different occasions. And he stood up, but three of us jumped up also. It was just a reflex. So the soldiers put their rifles against our chest, and Baker turned around, and he had a sad smile on his face, and he waved to us to sit down. Well, we all knew if we would have resisted, they would have killed all of us. So Baker jumped down from the truck and he walked towards his cap, where his cap was lying. He didn't bother to pick up. He turned around and looked straight at the three soldiers with their rifles in their arms, who were supposed to shoot him. But they were so surprised by his courage and his unbelievable behavior. He showed no fear. They lowered their rifles. Usually they would make jokes and laugh when they killed people, but this time they didn't. So it happened three times, and finally the SS officer pulled his gun out and told them, if you don't shoot him now, I will kill you. So they finally shot Peter, and he fell down. And then the truck started moving in. Well, I got to make this story short. Anyway, they locked most of us in a big private building, and they pushed us down a dark staircase into a dark room and slammed the door shut, and it sounded like they pushed the bar across on the other side. Somebody found a light switch, and we found out we were in a coal cellar. In those days, houses were heated by tile stoves, and there was coal and wood down there. The wood was brought in from a 2 by 3 foot wide iron door near the ceiling. And there was a chute leading down into the coal bin. So somebody figured, if the coal could slide down, maybe we can slide up. So I climbed up there, and after a long time, I was open the lock to the door. It had a square lock like they had on roller skates or ice skates. I pushed it open, and it leant out to the open. I closed it again, and we decided to escape in small groups. So we all got away. And that was one of the stories. So there were many stories where we saved people and freed them and got them across. And we had real small battles with SS and Gestapo. And
I think we just lost you there again for a second.
Gestapo. Hello?
Hi, we can hear you again, sorry.
Yeah, we're here. Your tale is just riveting. Really. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Felix, are you still there? Hello, Felix? Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, sorry, we thought we just lost you there for a second, sorry.
Yeah.
An amazing, amazing story.
Yeah, it's quite hard to listen to you without feeling some sort of emotion because of what happened to you and how you lived your life and what experiences you went through.
Well, I should make this short. Well, I was arrested by the Gestapo, and after 6 weeks, the American consulate made a deal with them that the Gestapo man would take me to the Swiss border. That trip was very interesting, but I don't want to go into the details now. Anyway, I got out.
I understand.
Yeah.
So, talk about now. Hello?
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 Yeah.
We're still here.
Yeah.
What I learned about now from all these things, you know, and I with what's happening now in the United States is so similar. See, it started with censorship and with outlawing radios, foreign newspapers, books that they got from the libraries that they were censored, or they found out which books you were reading, and similar things. And Hitler could have been stopped. But the Western democracies didn't do anything. I want to give you just one example. During the Civil War in Spain, when Franco attacked the legal government of Spain, which was a democracy, Hitler was allowed to bring his Stuka dive bombers and tanks into Spain to fight on the side of Franco, of course. And those brave young people from the American Abraham Lincoln Brigade who went to Spain with rifles and handguns. They were hunted down for the FBI for years and years like criminals. So that was just one example.
The government and doing what was right.
So the at that time it was the OSS. Hello?
Hello?
We're here.
At that time, yeah,
the OSS, Operational Secret Service.
Hello?
You there, Felix?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we can.
The OSS, which was the forerunner of the CIA, they did the same job. They would support the elite fascist governments all over the world. And the same thing is happening now. But there is hope. Like in Venezuela, the people got out on the street, the palace guards went over, the coup was halted, and Venezuela is now a socialist democracy. And it gives us hope. And my hope are the young people. Like in this area, we had an election last Tuesday, and all the good progressive people were elected. And for the first time, the legislator in Ulster County in New York has a majority of good people, of Democrats. So there is hope. And now we see how terrible the situation is in the United States. The White House seems to have crooks in the they are all lying. It is now proven that all the reasons that were given to start a war with Iraq were 100% lies. But it made the news in the newspapers and on television. People are not that much afraid to speak up. And now, I don't know if you heard about this, that Cheney, our vice president, he admitted that there were secret jails full of people who were arrested without a warrant, without telling them why, no telephone calls, nothing. And now he wants to make it legal to torture them. This made the news also. So I don't know how long they can keep this up. No, Bush is just ridiculous. So he appointed a nominee for the Supreme Court who was completely not equipped for the job. And she realized it and withdrew her nomination. So if people have questions about what's going on, could they answer? Do you think it's a time for questions?
Yeah, we can do questions.
Definitely. I hope you can hear us okay, but we can hear you perfectly.
Good.
Excellent. Okay. Again, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's a real honor and a privilege to get to speak to you.
It is my honor that I can do this. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've spoken about how history seems to be repeating itself. And
yes.
How the FBI and how the Nazis were controlling, sorry, not the FBI, but how the Nazis were controlling freedom of speech, distribution of media, news, what people were saying. You would have maybe secret spies in social clubs listening to what was going on.
And the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
No, it wipes out the Bill of Rights. No, it wipes out the democracy. It wipes out the Constitution of the United States.
Hmm. But a few months ago, we reported on FBI wanting a backdoor into the internet. So it would give them the power to be able to snoop or intercept any information that's currently either secure or private to any person. And that sounds to me a very, very scary thought.
It is scary.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the FBI was checking books that people took out from the library.
That's right, yes.
The New Paltz Library put a big sign up warning people about this.
Yeah.
And made them take the sign down. But every evening, the records of the people who taken out books suddenly disappeared.
Yeah,
they shredded them. So there is resistance to all this.
Yeah, I have heard that librarians are destroying the records, and there are some people that are resisting these laws. And to this day, they still collect a vast database. And this is something that's going to hit us in the UK, and something that we've been trying to fight against is a unified identity card, which will host at least 51 different categories of personal information. May it be your fingerprint, your retinal scan, and general information about you. I don't see how that can be at all a reasonable thing to suggest in a free democratic society.
Of course not. And now they're using the so-called security against terrorists to check up on everybody.
That's right, yeah.
You could take out a book on Islamic art and you wind up on the terrorist list.
That's right.
And who brought on the terrorists in the first place? Bush was yelling war and kill. And there are some big questions about this attack on the trade towers. There were many warnings, and now some people are not even sure who planned this attack.
Yeah.
Hitler and Bush have similar histories.
Yes.
Hitler was not elected either. Hindenburg handed him the presidency. And here Bush was not elected, but nominated at the Supreme Court. Mm. And he had his trade towers. And the second election that he, where they said he won, I think the voting and the machines, the punch cards, it was crooked, a crooked election. No, it doesn't seem to matter how many people vote. It's just important who is counting the votes.
Exactly. As I said on yesterday's episode, I see this democracy as a false democracy. You can vote, but your voice does not get heard. That's my feeling. And I think it's shared amongst quite a lot of young people because they don't have the option to choose something they feel. Why I don't have the option to elect a socialist party. I only have three options, and none of them are anything I would prefer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we have already a fascist government in the United States. I mean, there is no democracy. The laws are being broken. But there are strong forces building up now, like the American Civil Liberties Union has started to people write letters to government officials. And the title of this movement is it says, I refuse to surrender my freedom. And it seems that there is a strong support and lots of letters are being written to senators, congressmen, and to some and important, well-known people, and some congressmen and senators are officially speaking up. They're not afraid anymore, which is a good sign.
Yeah. I just want give our two hosts the opportunity to ask you their own questions that they might have.
Yes.
Felix, I just wanted to ask you, the UK is instituting a policy of mandatory state identification where it will be illegal not to carry your state identification card.
Not officially.
What that card contains.
But the Patriot Act states
that anybody in the United Kingdom
can be arrested without telling him why, without letting him make a phone call, and they can have in prison for any length of time. That is already in effect. It has happened.
Yes. People disappear. I was thinking about in England, they're making a new law, making it so it's illegal not to carry state identification.
No, there is no such law officially yet.
Well, in the United States, yeah, that's true. It hasn't been ratified. But what are your thoughts on mandatory identification?
They did that in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
That is not a democratic thing to do.
Yeah, I think what you just said there sums it all up. They did that in Nazi Germany. You know, yeah.
Yes, everything was no identification papers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It gives them the opportunity to, you can be identified. They have you on record, who you are, and everything like that. Except,
well, that
this is quite a few more years on, and the technology for being able to track someone is more advanced than just punch cards and paperwork, and the ability to protest and the ability to evade this is so much more harder.
Yes, it's getting more difficult.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
hello?
Sorry, go ahead.
More questions.
Yeah, more questions. What else? Go ahead, Ionic, sorry.
What do you see in the future? Is this going to become a groundswell movement for the people to take back their rights? Or are we going to see the continuing trend of people just sitting back and saying, well, they know what's best for us, so long as we're secure?
Well, I don't think people feel that secure. You know, they're really ruining this country. I love this country, and it breaks my heart what Bush and his cronies are doing to this country. And the rich get richer. The oil companies make billions and billions of dollars in profits. Hmm. But people who have to go to work, there is no public transportation. They have to use their cars to go to work. The cheapest gas now here is $2.50 a gallon. Heating will be so much more expensive. How can people afford it? It can't last.
Yeah.
It's not possible. I think people will realize what's going on. Well, Bush is, his number of support went down to the 20s from 80s. So,
well, when you look at inflation,
there is a strong movement against all this. And now government people are accused of laundering money. And I don't think how Cheney can get away with secret prisons, make it legal to torture prisoners. It can't last. No, I give talks in schools and colleges, and I get a terrific response from young people, and they are my hope.
So,
and lots of the older people are fighting too. No, I'm past 90 now. I can't fight or march or run, but I can I can talk and I can write. Hmm. And I do that.
So, a question to you, which I think everybody would like some of an answer to, would be, what would you suggest for us to be able to do? What would you suggest for the young people to do to change what's happening and to be able to take the power from the capitalists, from where it shouldn't be at the moment, and give it back to the people?
Well, start out with telling the truth. The truth is a strong weapon. Tony Blair's involvement with the war in Iraq, for instance, and issues of health, of work, of making a living for working people.
Yeah, I think...
How about... do people have a possibility to get elected without spending a lot of money? Here, people who spend millions of dollars to get elected.
Mm. Mm.
The people with no money don't have that much chance.
Exactly. That was something I was saying in yesterday's show, is that it's very difficult for let's say you or the person down the street or even me, somebody that has views and is able to get those views across and their agenda and has a following. It's very difficult for somebody like that to get into a chance of being able to get elected, because it's such a reserved system. And it's very isolated from the real people or the real thoughts of media, and everybody else is silenced, and that's why newspapers are controlled, and they have their own agenda because they have to make money. And the only way capitalism would work is because of the poor people, and you know they need to make the poor poorer to make the rich richer. So it's going to be a never-ending battle to be able to change the world.
Well, I think it can end. Look, they did it in Venezuela. Cuba is still okay. So it is a very hard fight.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to stick to your principles, to speak the truth, and the important thing is to unite people.
Mm.
To unite people in this fight.
Yeah. I believe that what we do, we, as the radio show, as the community, are a very small chain in hopefully a large link of a community based on freedom of speech, truth, and a joint battle. I don't want to call it a struggle because that sounds like it's going to fail, and that's not our aim. And it's going to be a battle to change or make the world a better place, if it's only our community, if it's only our neighborhood, if it's only our city or our nation or, you know, our quarter of the world. I think it's something that we're trying to do.
Well, the most important thing.
Yeah, it certainly isn't easy.
Yeah.
It is very difficult, but it can be done. It has to be done because this can't go on.
Mm.
No, it can't continue. It's unsustainable.
Yeah.
It's simple logic.
Maybe organizations could be, you know, encouraged to reach people and, you know, tell by telling the truth and getting support and fight local on local issues.
Yeah.
And get some people in some office of where they have some political power. Mm. It'll be a long struggle.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
Yes. I was wondering
it was very hard for me to have hope again when I saw all this happen. But now I have a lot of hope again. It didn't take that long. There's lots of good forces working now to change things for the better. For the people. And, you know, for instance, schooling is such a big problem here. Like, poor people have a very little chance to get a good education. So that has to be changed. You know, the government wants to keep the people stupid.
That's very true, yeah.
But progress has been made. Just talking to people, speaking up. I go to the barber shop, I talk. I go to the supermarket, and I talk. So they say, here it comes. But people start to listen. I'm well known now in this small town. Because I talk at the colleges, I call in all the schools, and everywhere I get a great response and make many friends. And we still have some good radio stations to tell the truth, and some television stations.
Yeah.
People are less afraid now to speak up because it became, you know, too ridiculous. I mean, what kind of people are running this country, or trying to run it? They're destroying it.
Would you be able to?
Billions of billions. Wasted in Iraq to kill people.
Yeah.
It can't go on.
Mm. I have a question from Ionix. Would you be able to speak about the time when you first saw your FBI file?
When I what with my FBI file?
Yeah, when you first saw your FBI file.
Oh yeah, with the freedom of yeah. I got my file, but half of it was blacked out.
I wonder why.
It was a big, heavy file, but. Half of it I couldn't read, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's an achievement in itself, to get an FBI file. Or maybe not in this day and age.
Well, no, they also tap in phones.
Mm.
And do all kinds of things to control things. Mostly been scaring people. And they, is searching bags of people getting into the subway in New York.
Yeah. That's something that's...
Rich people don't take the subway.
That's something that's being repeated here in the UK, is constant random searching of personal belongings, bags. It's going to be constant monitoring of people of certain races, such as Asian, Arab, dark-skinned.
Muslims.
That's right.
And black people.
That's correct.
Black people are still not free in the United States. Even the ones who struggle to get a good education and have good jobs and positions, every day for them is a struggle. And if anybody, you know, looks suspicious in a group, you just have to be black and they'll pick you out.
Yeah, I think in the UK, well, at least in London, because it's such a culturally diverse capital, I can be proud to say that we don't have that sort of racism where people of all colors and creeds and backgrounds are able to mix, and everybody is in a way politically correct. To be politically correct, some sort of there's some sort of equality amongst the capital. Although there are, of course, always stereotypes, and you will find from police records the amount of people that are searched, they're usually black. So it is something that's still around.
Yeah, they use, you know, discrimination and persecution of a certain group. They want to keep people divided. And in many cases, they succeed. They find a scapegoat.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been a repeating theme throughout the ages. I don't know if you're aware of the French riots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much aware, but I don't know what's going on.
Well,
do you know anything?
All I can tell you is what I've heard. And the general feel.
Yeah.
I'm sure that maybe somebody else can jump in and give me more information. But what I have a feeling is that there's quite a lot of immigrants, and there's quite a lot of very poor people in France at the moment, in the suburbs, that feel very left out. They feel that the government is not speaking their voice, that the government is not even listening to their voice. So the only thing that they were able to do is to riot and to burn things and to cause destruction to be able to get some attention and to get their voice heard. So the way that the French government is trying to crack down on this is that they're silencing free speech on the internet. They've also installed a curfew for nobody under the age of 18 to be allowed out on the streets from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. And generally, anybody that is on the streets at midnight, let's say, when the sun sets, you know, you're not going to be in much luck. You know, you're going to be stopped, searched by riot police, probably taken, you know, in a police van away. That's all I know.
That makes sense. I understand now, but it must have been very bad, very crucial that they it came to this terrific result. Mm. All you hear on the news here, there are riots and cars are being burned.
Yeah.
But they don't tell anything else.
Yeah, they don't say why it's happening. The first thing you...
I actually did some research today.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
So I just learned something. Thank you.
Go ahead, Ionix, because I think you have some fresh information.
Yeah, it took me a while to get to the bottom of this. I read a lot of reports about what the rioting was and what was going on. And interestingly enough, I had to go to Al Jazeera before I actually found out why it's happening. The riots were kicked off when two youth, Muslim youth, were fleeing the police after being chased down and being demanded to show identification. They ended up scaling the walls of a small facility that hosted some power transformers for the electrical grid. And while hiding from police officers, were electrocuted by high voltage. Apparently, they were harassed by the police and scared enough so that they fled. And when news of their electrocution and death hit the Muslim community there, everything went wild. Apparently...
I have trouble hearing.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little. I think you're having
okay,
some...
I'm going to type it on IRC and Belial can relay it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're just having some problems hearing Ionix there. So, I don't know how much you got of the story, but I'll just rehash it. Basically, what Ionix said is that two Muslim youths were stopped by police, requested to show identification, forced. Well, they felt they feared for their safety, so they. The only safety they found was in a electrical transformer house or something along those lines. They were harassed by police, and I think they were electrocuted where they were hiding. And when this news came out and it hit the public, the general population went into an uproar, basically. I don't know if you caught any of that, Felix. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't get all of it, but I think all this... When things like that happen, we should try and make it very public and let people know.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened?
But yes, that's exactly it. And your main question would be, why is this happening? And the media are not reporting that the source of the rioting. As my general assessment of the information I received, I came to the conclusion that these people were being suppressed, that they were very poor. But I feel that this was just a catalyst, just a trigger for this violence and for the rioting. And basically, the protesters, the protests were broken up with nerve gas. So the riot police used nerve gas on the people, and then the riots went wild. Basically, the people just filled the streets with fire. I don't know if you came across that throughout your life, any kind of similar things happening like that? Hello? Hello, Felix. Are you still there? Can you still hear us? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Can you still hear me?
Not very well, and I don't think you could. You'd have heard me for a while either.
No, I couldn't hear you for a few minutes. I was just saying, I don't know if you came across anything like that throughout your life. If you ever experienced that kind of rioting. Did you catch that? Hello, did you hear that?
Hello, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Now, yes.
Okay, I was just saying, have you ever experienced something like that during your life? In Germany?
Like what?
Like what's happening in France, where suppressed people have the only option to riot.
Well, in a way, we did that in the underground.
Yeah.
Like in other countries in Europe, like in Poland, you know, the underground armies, you know, blew up German trains and munition factories. Yes, and we did that in a small way.
Yeah,
we put strips of clothes in German trucks, gas tanks, and blew them up and things like that. Mm. It wasn't on a big basis, but the underground in Austria was really pathetic. But in France and in Norway, in Denmark, in the Netherlands, the underground was very strong.
Yeah.
And they did things like that. Yes, that's one way of fighting back. Mm.
And it's quite a decision. It's quite an extreme way of being able to fight back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I felt we had no choice, because if I would be hiding in some place, they would have found me and killed me anyway.
Yeah.
So I rather would have started fighting.
So it was really a last resort, a last cry, if it will.
Yes, it's desperation.
Yeah.
You see no way out, absolutely nothing to do, no hope left, so you get desperate, and you do desperate things. Mm. It's understandable. They just don't tell it in the news here.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think...
I understand what's going on.
Yeah, I think this is an example of how the media actually work, is they report on the violence, they show the pictures, they report on the riots, and they show what's going on, but they don't report the story, the key facts that would make somebody's decision, they're correct, the truthful decision, and it's filtered.
Yes, if people can really know the truth, it'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
Most people don't know the truth. And fear rules a lot.
Yeah, exactly. The best way to get somebody to do something is to make them very afraid. So constant repetition of fear.
It's always...
Yeah.
Always a threat. Yeah, right.
And I don't know if you sense this, but during the attacks in 9/11, and way before that, there was a constant wave of fear injected by the media in the USA to make people more afraid, and then a little bit less, and then a bit more afraid again, to make them on their toes, make them buy products, make them almost like a child state, where they would be led by somebody who would protect them.
That's absolutely true. And then they use the security, you know, to keep people scared and afraid, and to let the searches go on. They don't protest. But it can't last forever.
No.
I mean, there are beginnings. And the movement will grow stronger.
Yeah, we hope that I mean, some ideas that we've had ourselves is to basically canvas the area where we live in with leaflets and information. I have a feeling, you know, people get adverts, you know, for pizzas and, you know, stupid things put through their letterbox, waste of paper. And I have a feeling that giving somebody a leaflet for how they can view their voice, what's actually going on, how somebody can express their feelings is far more productive than, you know, a $29.99 pizza with free Pepsi.
Yeah, anyway, where you can tell the people the truth is very, very important.
Yeah. But I do have a feeling that if that is done, then could I or we be labeled in some way as being extremists or being labeled as terrorists? And in this current state of affairs, I think that's a very easy thing to happen to someone.
Yes, it happened in the United States in the 50s.
Yeah.
When people know, like, that spoke up and got to the... And they were worried about them. They started the McCarthy period. They were fighting the communists.
Mm, that's right.
Everybody they didn't like called the communists. And people lost jobs and livelihoods. And it went on and on and on.
So,
and know what finally stopped it?
What's that?
They picked on General Eisenhower. So the army woke up. And they exposed this phony McCarthy and his lawyer Roy Cohn for what they were.
Hmm.
They had the United States gripped in fear. It was, you know, people lost lives over it.
Hmm.
And it took years and years before people were reinstated in their jobs. The FBI came to my apartment and took my passport away. Well, I was in good company. They took Charlie Chaplin's passport and other very well-known people.
Wow. So basically, if you had an enemy, that you wished to get rid of? Was it as easy? I mean, I only know this from books that I've read and information that I picked up. I haven't lived through this like you have. So I just want to get a kind of understanding of what happened. Was it as easy as saying, I suspect that guy of being a communist, and the next day you don't ever hear from him again?
I didn't quite get the question.
I'm just saying, was it as easy as saying, I suspect that person is a communist and you would never see that person again?
Well, that's true. Yes.
Wow.
It can be.
Wow, that's very scary. Very scary. But I guess they had to have an enemy. And I think today's enemy is the terrorist. And it almost feels like George Orwell's, when he wrote about, you know, that never-ending war. They had to have a war that would never theoretically end. So they had to, so they could have an enemy that could always reoccur. And I have that feeling that that's happening right now.
Well, that can be. Well, it takes a lot of perseverance and courage to stick to your beliefs and to speak up. Or if you can't speak openly, write and distribute letters, leaflets, it helps.
Mm. So is your suggestion that we should just keep on going with this radio show and keep on fighting and keep on letting people speak and and giving out the truth?
That's very important. I'm very lucky now. I can still speak in schools and colleges and organizations and usually get a great response. Well, I don't reach too many people, but it's encouraging.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to people who are now graduates, teachers, professors, principals. And sometimes when they become teachers, some of their students will get in touch with me and ask me to talk to them. So it's so important to tell the truth.
Yeah, that's our goal, that's our precedent, that we try and give as much truthful or as correct information as we can. It is important, as you said.
It's very important.
Yeah. And there are, You can see this in a negative light, but I like to see our free independent media in a positive way. And there is a lot of sources out there where people with their own opinion, very driven people, have the ability to be able to express themselves if it's vocally. Or if it's written, the internet gives that forum, it gives that platform for people to be able to stand. Whereas before, it was much more difficult, possibly in your time, to be able to gather people that shared your same viewpoint. I don't know if that's correct, or if you've noticed that nowadays with the with the internet.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I think I lost you for a while.
Okay. Basically, what I was saying is, do you have a feeling that it was much more difficult to get your viewpoint across and to have a place to speak than it is now with the internet? I don't know how much experience you've had with that.
I don't have too much, but I think there is a great possibility to use the internet and spread the truth.
Yeah. Well,
and radio stations. Yeah. We still have some good radio stations in the United States that tell the truth.
That's right.
And people listen.
Well, right now it's very easy for somebody to write an article or to have some sort of memorandum of their thoughts on the internet for anyone, anywhere in the world to be able to read. It's very simple for somebody to set up their own radio station on the internet and publicize it so that anyone, anywhere in the world is able to listen to. So I believe that the internet is our sole provider of this kind of thing right now. Disregarding all other forms of media, I think we should be able to capitalize on what freedom of speech the internet gives us and freedom to protect our own identities so that we cannot be directly attacked in some ways.
Yes, that's very important. Yes, you're right. And also, you know, we can start small groups to reach other people, make the group bigger and more important. Like, for instance, the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah.
Is doing a very great job that way. Just sending out literature, making people write letters to congressmen, to senators. And if they get enough letters, they even will act on it. They'll speak up. It will make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just that continuous movement and a constant injection of drive so that people continue to be aware, to be able to be aware that there's something out there for them to be able to speak to, that somebody is listening, that somebody appreciates their views. And if you can do that to your, I don't know how it works in the US, your regional senator or your regional kind of governor, so that if you can change their viewpoint or if you can make them listen, then something will happen and the power of the Bush administration will diminish.
That's true. Look how the peace movement through the computer, we got millions and millions of people all over the world march for peace. That was terrific.
Yeah. I mean, I was myself on the anti-war marches during pre-Iraq war. The general feeling I got was a massive consensus of people with the same viewpoint. They were really anti-war. I myself have been through a war. War is really not a good thing. You know, it's not a way to go about things, especially the way the Iraq war were set up. It was more of an invasion than anything, you know. That's my viewpoint.
Just go into a little more about your experiences with war.
My experiences or Felix's?
Yours, man.
Oh, right.
Hello?
Now's the time.
Hello. Basically, I mean, I grew up in Bosnia, and there was quite a lot of conflict, and probably about 500 years of history of conflict and oppression and fighting of two religious groups. And the experiences probably don't match what some people have gone through, but I can say I'm glad to be alive and glad to be in one piece at this moment in time, mentally and physically, I have to add. It's not something I want to ever wish on somebody. It's not a way to solve problems. And it's a way for companies to get richer in a way. Now, if the Iraq invasion was due to oil and this whole thing was set up, I think, I don't know how many people were there, but a good million of good million people were there at the march. They all shared that same viewpoint. Now, my feeling was that the people that were rallying this, the politicians that stood up on the stage, that gave their speeches after the war was carried out, and just as the decision was made to go to war, they all changed their minds. Now, I feel that that's wrong. I feel that the people were betrayed. Now, I'm hoping, Felix, you can hear some of this. I don't know if you've caught any of this.
Well, I think the war in Iraq is criminal.
Yeah.
You spend billions of dollars of the people's money for what? To kill people? To destroy a country? I guess it wasn't just for oil. I think Bush and Blair wanted a foothold in that part of the world.
Yeah.
Which also is completely wrong.
Well, it's one of the most valuable sources of natural gas. It's, you know, if I was Bush, that would be where I'd be going next.
Well, look, if instead of wasting $100 billion of money of dollars, if they would have spent a fraction of that money to work on natural resources,
yeah,
we wouldn't need that much oil. You know what Bill Clinton is doing now? He's talking to one of the wealthiest people in the United States. And he convinced them that they could make a lot of money if they would go into natural resources.
Yeah.
Like solar, wind, and water. And now, these people and Bill Clinton will go to the United Nations and propose this. So there is a chance that that will be followed up. Even though oil, it'll run out of oil eventually anyhow. There is only that much left.
Exactly. I think we're overdue for a new, cleaner way of getting energy and being able to live our lifestyles as we do, but not killing the earth.
That has to be done because they're destroying the earth.
Yeah.
I am convinced that the melting of the ice and the polar region has made all those hurricanes and all those terrible destructive storms.
That's right. There's a lot
because
of...
Because the oceans get warmer.
That's right. There's a lot of instability in the climate right now.
Yes.
Globally.
Yes.
You can only imagine how many cars constantly, every day, they are on the roads, airplanes in the sky, and all that is like a giant, you know, thousands and thousands of volcanoes going off every day. That's how much pollution and how much pollution is going up into the atmosphere. So I don't think anybody could say that this is a sustainable way of continuing to live for the next 20 to 50 years. Let's say even less than that, you know, how could we go on without creating some sort of sustainable energy to be able to push ourselves and to be able to give the next generation of human beings and any other species a safe and stable world to live in?
This is absolutely correct. If the world will be destroyed, it'll be done by greedy men.
Yeah.
We have to stop this. Even a little lawnmower pollutes the air.
Yeah.
We have to stop it. And there are ways to do it.
Definitely. There is technology right now that is able to solve a lot of problems.
Look, on Mars, they have vehicles running now for a long, long time on solar energy. They don't need repair. They don't need gas.
Yeah.
And they keep running.
Yeah.
Why can't they make them down here on this planet?
Well, they
can. It can be done.
They can, but they wouldn't be able to get as much money if they did.
Well, they have some cars now. They do. They run on different things. Yeah, there is some that they're trying some with on vegetable oil.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean,
right.
It's amazing how many ways you can find.
That's right. Currently in the UK, they're doing prototype tests on hybrid vehicles that run on two fuels. So one might be hydrogen and one might be electricity. And it's just a safer way of being able to drive. You know, you really don't go very fast in London because there's a lot of congestion. So it's not going to be a fast car. But then again, you won't be going above 40 miles an hour. So you don't have to be worried about that. But, you know, if it means saving so many natural resources, because how many dinosaurs did it take to create one barrel of oil, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. But see, people are beginning to realize that.
Yeah.
It has to be done. There is no other way out.
Yeah.
Right.
So, how, just as a kind of closing question.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel that? Where do you see the future of the world going? Where do you see everything leading to?
Well, I think that enough people will realize that we have to use those natural resources.
Yeah.
Forget about the oil. Yes, then there'll be a future. If they don't stop that, there is no future for the world.
And
it's as simple as that.
And how about the form or structure of government, because at the moment it's very, it's almost like a pyramid. There's very few at the top which have a lot of power, and there's quite a lot at the bottom which have absolutely no power. Do you see that continuing, or do you see it more of a flat structure?
It has to change.
Yeah.
The people have the power. You know, a people united can never be defeated.
Yeah.
And those people who rule by money, by force, and dictators, they can't last.
Mm.
Look, Hitler and his 1,000-year reign.
Yeah.
He did all those terrible things with millions and millions and millions of people died. But he only lasted 12 years. They can't last. And Bush and his cronies, they can't last. There has to be an end to it, and power has to be taken over by the people.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Hmm. And a question from Ionix. This is quite a deep question, so feel free to take your time on it. What is your vision of a perfect world?
A world at peace. A peace and no discrimination or persecution without making differences in the color of the skin, their religion, their heritage, their race. That'll be a perfect world for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
It's just a dream now, but I think that dream can be a reality one day. But we have to do whatever we can to change things little by little by little, if it has to be, but it can be done.
Mm. Definitely. Is there anything more that you wish to tell our listeners? If there's anything more, feel free to speak. This is time dedicated to you. So do.
Well, I think there are so many issues that we should work on. No, peace is the most important thing right now. To get the troops out of Iraq and to end that'll be a big beginning of good things for me.
Yeah.
And also, I'm Jewish, and I'm ashamed of what the Israeli government in power is doing against the Palestinians. But the good part is there is a very strong peace movement in Israel. For instance, Israeli combat flyers have refused to bomb targets in Palestine. Now, that took courage, but they have done that. And there is a place in the United States where every year Israelis and Palestinians meet together and plan for a peaceful future. If Israel doesn't make peace with the Palestinians, it cannot blessed, it cannot exist anymore. It's not possible. They have to make peace. And not let the United States or anybody else use them for their power play.
Yes, I have a feeling... Sorry, go on.
Yes?
Sorry, go on. I don't want to stop you.
I'm very happy to hear the young people talk to me from London. And I have great confidence that they will accomplish a lot. They give me hope.
Well, that's a very nice thing of you to say, and I feel proud to be able to speak to you. I feel proud of what we have achieved with so little, and it's very difficult to organize a group of people where you're spread over a wide geographic area, but it's such an awesome feeling to know that there is other people out there that share your same ideology, share your same viewpoint, and
there are plenty of good people.
Yeah.
So thank you for all your time.
Thank you for. For,
and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you for
you're,
being
you're
here.
You're giving me
we
hope.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you as well to Felix for joining us tonight. Your story is absolutely fantastic and very, very moving and also very motivating. So I just want to say thank you again, Felix.
Thank you, Judge, for making this possible.
That's not a problem.
It was terrific.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll talk again.
I hope so.
Of course.
Yeah. Anytime.
Take good care.
You too. Have a good night.
You too.
Be well,
Felix.
Bye-bye. Be well.
Bye. Wow.
Fucking wow, exactly.
Radio history right there, man.
I just want to say sorry for me taking all the speaking time. It's just, it was...
No, it's better that way.
Yeah, I think... Yeah.
I didn't want to jump on and use the bandwidth, neither did I on it, so we were both typing in IRC so you could see it, because Felix could hear you, obviously,
yeah.
And we didn't want to show with a guy like that, where he's just going, what,
yeah,
I can't
exactly.
hear you,
yeah.
It's, you know, you're breaking up, Skype
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
He had so much cool fucking stuff to say, I'm really pumping with adrenaline right
yeah,
now.
Definitely.
He had so much good stuff to say, and I just want to say congrats to you, Bilal, for doing a fucking great interview, man.
Thank you. It's
yeah,
not a problem.
Great job.
No, you fucking nailed that.
Yeah.
That was superb.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know, because I have to listen back to this.
Well, if it sounds half as good as it sounded to us,
yeah.
listening to it live, then it will be superb.
Excellent.
As I was saying, it's probably going to be the best show
man.
Ever.
Oh, thanks.
This is the show that all others begin.
Wow.
Fantastic job. And,
well, I just
and
hope...
I was very excited about this.
Yeah. I just hope I did some justice to the guy, you know. It was quite difficult communications-wise because I wasn't sure when he was able to listen to me, when he was able to hear me. And what he wasn't able to hear. So I might have had to repeat a few things over... But yeah,
sure. But it worked out.
It sounded
fine.
Great.
Cool. Excellent.
Oh man,
I want to listen to this back.
Yeah.
I knew it would be good, but wow.
I thought it'd be good, but I didn't think it'd be this good. You know.
Yeah. Is it possible so we can get him on every night so. So we can talk more about how much we hate the way things are going and the way we can bring down capitalism.
We can definitely get him on again.
Yeah.
I don't know about every night.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
I mean, I was riveted right from the start when he was talking about the Socialist Party in Austria.
I'm just,
and all the things they were doing, like building houses for people and making sure that every working person got a fair deal and stuff like that. And then everything that happened, and he described it really well.
That's right.
I learned so flipping much in tonight's episode that I didn't learn in like 3-4 years of history at school that covered World War II.
Yeah,
I mean, oh man, this has been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was privileged enough to live in a socialist country and to be able to experience the benefits of you know, being in a socialist country, being in a socialist environment, being in a socialist democracy, should I say? But then again, the war came along and it fucked everything up. So it's a general repeat of history from you know, World War One, World War Two, from what happened to me, which is just an insignificant blip in space time continuum. But it was a privilege to be able to speak to someone that has lived such a fruitful and such a colorful life, should I say?
Yeah. I'm flipping glad he came on the show, and also thank you, Ionix, for setting this up, man. This is fantastic, and much, much kudos and respect to you, my
indeed.
Friend. Wow, and well done.
It was honestly my pleasure, oh, guys. His voice had to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm just extremely proud and glad that it could be heard here.
So am I. You know, this is what we set out at the beginning, was to be able to give somebody the forum to be able to speak their views and the source for independent media.
I've got to say, I've never heard an interview on any radio station that could even compare to the power and grace of this one.
Well, I'm blushing.
Oh, I think he's right.
No, I mean, it's just fact.
Yeah?
I mean, Belial, you did a phenomenal job. Felix, obviously, just, you know, blew us out of the water.
But yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
This one's one for the history books, folks.
Yes, definitely. Let's just hope I press the record button.
Oh, hang on, my eye rib is at work.
I'm going to have to strangle you.
Oh, wait. What does it mean when it doesn't turn on?
Oh, God.
Don't even fucking joke about it, man.
Yeah, really.
What does out of memory mean? I'm just teasing.
I know.
You better be.
Oh man, I don't know how to end this thing now, man. I can't.
I don't know. I think we should just end it, upload it, because I really want to hear it again.
Yeah. And I don't know what to end this thing now. How do we end this with like music? To equalize and balance the awesomeness of the show.
We should have asked Felix.
Don't end it
request.
With music.
Yeah.
End it with our good nights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. I think that's good.
There's no way.
No, I don't think we should, because of the remembrance as well. I think it should be an ending without music.
Yeah, drum and bass doesn't really fit in very well with.
Yeah. It did. It did fit very appropriately. So yeah.
Wow.
So, I'm just going to say goodbye from Planet Lave. I think this has been an awesome show. Thank you to Ionix. Thank you to Belial for what each of you guys did to set this show up tonight. Thank you also to Felix for joining us, who is an incredible man. Mm. And I want to go to the States and meet that guy and
shake his hand.
Ionix, I might be staying with
Open
you for a while, mate.
Man.
Because that is an incredible story, and I can listen to that all flipping day.
Yeah.
Honest to God. Wow. And thank you, and good night.
Good night. Yeah, I wish I could fly over to the States. I mean, I've booked a few weeks off holiday in January, early January. So, you know, maybe it's a possibility.
If you can and if you want to, my door's always open.
Yeah, I want to. I want to, yeah.
We can go have tea with the man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fine.
Cool.
I just want to say that this show has been an honor and a privilege.
Mm.
I literally cried. I've been blushing for so long. I can't even describe the feeling.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of thing where you know you've done something important.
But it hasn't sunk
you've
in yet.
You've done something real. And, It was just an incredibly powerful show that touched every basis, and just wow.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it hasn't actually sunk in yet what's happened because of the adrenaline that was running through.
Yeah.
But I'm sure once I start uploading it, once I start listening back to it, it will hit me.
It's welcome to Hacker Voice Radio.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all piss and fart jokes. Sometimes we just blow your fucking mind.
Exactly.
Wow. So. Well, I'm going to say goodnight, and guys, we did an incredible job.
Yep.
It was my pleasure to set this up.
Mm.
I feel that it's important. Like on a global scale, important.
Yeah, it was a real.
And,
Belial, a real honor.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job, man.
Thank you. It was an honor to speak to him. So yeah, I think it's a good night for me. I'll be resting easy tonight, actually. But I'm going to stick around in IRC with you guys if you're going to stay for a
yep.
general chat. Cool. So I think we can end the recording now.